Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Fred. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on where you are in the world. It's a deep pleasure to be leading the True Voice with Dr. Fred podcast. I will not be with my running partner, Sam, today. He's in Maine with his family. He has a sick father as well, so he's spending time with his dad. Let's pray for for his dad to feel better. And Sam is caring for him and his family out there and doing a fine job, but he won't be able to make it to the podcast today. So today I want to speak a little bit to the importance of forgiveness. I want to speak to what forgiveness and acceptance is and what True Voice is and how it relates to forgiveness and acceptance. One of the things I've noticed over time is that forgiveness is a skill. And although at times I want to be forgiven by another because I don't want them to be mad at me, the real skill is actually in forgiving and not in being forgiven or even wanting to be forgiven. The possibility here in forgiving is realizing that forgiving is an inside job. It actually opens up the possibility of you being able to create a space where there's no space now because there's some sort of toxic judgment that's in place about somebody who did something to insult you or something to injure you or something inadvertent that in some ways made you angry. The possibility of forgiving is a matter of really taking it out on yourself and giving as before. That's what forgiving means. So the idea is that you can forgive another person and the relief that you will feel as the forgiver will be far greater than anything you do by releasing that person from being the cause of any of your pain. So we start looking at what does it take to be forgiving? What is the delicate, gentle nature of humanity that requires one to or that allows one to actually choose forgiveness as a possibility. I know that when people have insulted me or hurt me, I sometimes have trouble forgiving them. I hold a grudge or I actually hold some toxic understanding of their malintent to cause pain for me. And then they don't even know that I hold that intent, but I don't want to give them even the time of day because somehow that would have me believe that they would be released from their causative actions. But in reality, what's here is the possibility of forgiving, not in order to release them from their causative actions, but to forgive in order to leave me the room to go on with my life and to respect their humanity, to realize that I too make grave errors with people. I too have insulted and been toxic to other people in their world, whether or not I wanted to, or whether or not I intended to. And because of that, I can actually get that more than likely it's not personal. And even if it is personal, meaning that somebody had malintent when they hurt me, I can even forgive that. Meaning that's without actually having to condone what they have, you know, without actually standing by it or allowing for it or agreeing that it was okay. I can forgive it as an action that they took out of their humanity that, for whatever reason, has been sitting here with me, preventing me from moving forward in my life because it's taking up rent space in my head. So forgiveness, acceptance, and compassion are tools, as long with patience and kindness, that allow us to step forth and actually be able to be with other people in an easier way. Once we can apply these gentle descriptives to other people, then we create a new level of peace of mind for us. There are some people in my world who I find to be very insulting. And even on an ongoing basis, doing things that I find to be kind of surprisingly mean or disrespectful or disregarding. And I do have trouble forgiving those people. I have trouble allowing for it. But I also notice that in time, as I allow myself to forgive them for being them, it releases all the negative experiences I have with them. I don't have to have an argument with them when I actually speak with them next. And I don't actually have to have all the negative feelings that I have that are brewing up because I'm having trouble forgiving. See, I think that when I don't forgive, that it's up to the other person to relieve me of my pain. But the truth is that if I actually do forgive, it's up to me to relieve my pain and that I have access to being able to do so. So I invite you to consider forgiveness, acceptance, patience, understanding, compassion, kindness, and like humility and gentleness as being a skill set that you can use moving forward. One that opens up your own heart and one that allows for you to improve your relationships, not only with the world, but also with yourself. How does that sound to you? I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'd love to speak with any of our listeners. The phone line today is 1-888-627-6008. If you'd like to speak to the notion of forgiveness or acceptance or compassion and how that has either worked for you or not worked with you, I'd be glad to have a discussion with you. Another important piece of this is that this seems to be an important component to an ongoing loving relationship. In intimate relationships, we often step on each other's toes, sometimes inadvertently, only because we're in such close quarters with each other, with our hearts and with our bodies. And when we step on each other's toes, we often have difficulty actually forgiving. And when something happens again that seems like it resonates with a previous insult, we are triggered to actually feel the same way we did last time and rekindle our toxic relationship and rekindle our grudge that we had with the person for somehow repeating something that led it to a hurt last time. It becomes harder to forgive somebody when they're, quote, repeat offenders. And this is something we get to explore if we're really going to become true forgivers. It doesn't take a religious way of being to be a forgiver. You don't have to be a doormat. You don't have to lie down and take it. It's really a strong act of humanity to forgive someone for even the pains that they have caused you. And it is not a matter of necessarily turning the other cheek, but it is a matter of relieving yourself of the toxic relationship you have with the person who either insulted, injured, or disappointed you to the point of having you choose not to forgive them for any extended period of time. So that's what I have to say about forgiveness on the front edge. Thank you for listening to that. The next piece I want to speak with is the piece of really the essence of why bringing forth our authenticity is important. So as we move forward in the world, it's really important to get that if we don't actually speak our truest voice, no one will ever know us. And if we don't speak our voice at all, no one will even ever hear us. And if no one hears us and no one knows us, what kind of life is that? We often pretend to be somebody that we're not in order to protect the person that we are. And it turns out that that is just a preposterous, ludicrous, and absurd way to go through life. I invite you to consider that what's really here is an opportunity to step into your true voice. And I just led a webinar earlier today where six people attended and they were interested in learning how is it that we can find our truest voice? Why true voice anyways? One of the key things about true voice is, again, as I said, if you're not going to be true to yourself and you're not going to be true to what you're saying, no one will ever really get to know you. And the person that they'll be talking to will be a simple facsimile of who you are. What's really possible is when we lift all the barriers to being our real self and rediscover the true self that's underneath it all, the opportunity comes very obvious that when we speak our true voice and resonate harmonically or harmonically resonate with ourselves and with the world around us, we get to experience a level of belonging that far exceeds anything we're trying to avoid for the fear of being ostracized or disrespected or disregarded by saying the wrong thing. There are several ways to speak, including some of the performing arts, or the visual arts. Art, music, dancing, singing, drama, cooking, writing, and gardening are the eight that are highlighted in my book called The Creative Eight, Healing Through Creativity and Self-Expression. There are others that have been added since that time, including photography and cleaning. And then there is the whole idea of service as being the trump card, meaning doing anything to help anyone. There's also a final one, which is looking at the whole idea of divinity and eternity, thereby getting that maybe life and death are just constructs that we use for ourselves, and that life goes on even past our death. Now, I don't mean to suggest some form of natural reincarnation, although that is possible, but I am suggesting that what we think about death and that we are so terrified of death has a lot to do with our difficulties about fear and fear of being ostracized or thrown off or somehow no longer being allowed to belong. So I invite you again to look at true voice as a way of getting that point across. Some of you know I had a recent medical calamity, a medical challenge. On March 20th, not so long ago, I had an event where my aorta, the big artery leading out of the heart, the main highway artery that leads to the carotids and then leads to all the arteries going to the rest of the body, actually exploded like a bad seam on a pair of jeans. I needed to be taken to an emergency room and then from there transferred to a cardiothoracic surgical center that could actually take on who I was and take on the challenge that I had. So I had open heart surgery at that time, and they actually put a piece of Dacron in there to patch up the area that had split and then put another stent in there on the other side of my carotids on the way down my aorta, along with using a good portion of my aorta still to that was not injured. At this point, my biggest obligation or my biggest responsibility apparently is to live a lower blood pressure lifestyle. By living a lower blood pressure lifestyle, I won't stress my aorta as much or my heart apparently. And it also extends out to my lifestyle and my interactions with others. By living a lower blood pressure lifestyle, I have more access to forgiveness and compassion and gentleness and delicateness and also acceptance and humility. And some of these features that don't naturally align with living a high blood pressure lifestyle. It's like the lifestyle that I was living up not so far before I had my event. So I invite you to consider living a low blood pressure lifestyle as well. It is a disorienting transition, however, going from gathering my energy as if I'm a spinning top, constantly being spun and delivering energy from that perspective, to where I am now with the low blood pressure lifestyle of gathering my energy and my creativity from like a simple cauldron in the center of my soul that offers the possibility for me to pick out my creativity rather than either react to or respond in such a way to create creativity. So instead of it being so urgent, there is some intention that I get to offer. And in that gentle intention, I get to also explore what it's like to forgive and what it's like to accept and what it's like to have compassion for myself and others for getting to be who I am. In this process, I have also come across the need to redesign my business model. Who am I and what do I provide and how do I provide it? And who is my so-called target audience and how do I reach out to them and make myself known? Podcasting is one great way to do that. And this podcast is an intention to actually reach out to any of you who are thinking that you might need some assistance. I am self-described and also have a moniker called the Undoctor. And what the Undoctor does, and you heard that on the commercial, you hear that on the commercial each time, is the Undoctor helps people who either want to get out of the psychiatric complex, who feel that maybe they've been misdiagnosed or mistreated in some way, and they haven't got better as fast as they want, or maybe not at all. and they want to leave and lose their diagnosis and lose their medicine. I can help people with that notion and actually get them to the point where we are undiagnosing, unmedicating, and indoctrinating them. Another possibility is looking at mental health and looking at those people who think that there might be something wrong with them and that they need immediate or acute psychiatric evaluation. This is another group of people who are hesitant to get into the psychiatric industrial complex and would rather really find another way. In fact, it is really possible that the way you're feeling, whether it's anxious or depressed or confused or scattered or unable to complete tasks or maybe fearful or feeling aimless or some of the feelings that are often frequently associated with psychiatric problems is more or less a normal response to the crazy world that's going on around you, not only at large, but maybe inside of your family or inside of your relationship. And it's possible that your responses or your reactions to this are just a form of normal, and that just because you feel terrible or miserable, or just because you feel uncomfortable or largely uncomfortable, doesn't make anything wrong with you. That may be exactly the experience that's being called for in order for the change that's necessary to take place. So I do help people consider a final alternative, like a last exit before they get into the psychiatric complex, where we can really reestablish and recontextualize their lives and help them see that there was nothing wrong with them in the first place. And the idea that they need psychiatric help can be discarded. It turns out that psychiatric help isn't what it's cracked up to be in many cases, as you often get put on medicine and then held accountable for taking those medicine without any intention to ever get you off of medicine. As psychiatrists, we are not naturally trained to eliminate medicine. Sometimes on a rare occasion, we might decrease the dose. But in general, our job, if you have symptoms and you're taking medicine, is to do one of three things. And that's to add, increase, or change your medicine. Meaning add another medicine, increase the dose of the present medicine, or change the medicine altogether to another class or another drug in the same class. That's the only thing that we've been taught as psychiatrists. We've never really been taught on how to get people off medicine. Sometimes people consider that there's a long taper associated with medicines. I do not agree with that. In most cases, a long taper only prolongs how difficult it is to finally take that step from some to none. In that taper, you're likely to have life run up against you. And when that happens, you're going to say something like, well, I never ran over my cat with my car before I came off the medicine. So the fact that I'm tapering, that must have contributed to it. Or I never had three nights of difficulty sleeping before I came off medicine. So now that that's it, it's the medicine that's causing my problem. What I want you to get is that correlation and causality are not necessarily bed partners, and correlation does not imply causality in any way. So just because two things happen in a similar setting doesn't mean that one caused the other. And we start looking at tapering and seeing that tapering, going from like 150 milligrams to 75 milligrams, doesn't really make you any closer to zero. There's either yes or no. And in other words, if you learn that the medicines you were taking was actually poison, you wouldn't agree to a long taper of those medicines before you got to zero. For instance, if you had it that you were taking 3 tablespoons of rat poison every day, and I told you that we just identified that, but it would have to take 6 months to get you off of rat poison by taking it down by a quarter teaspoon every month, then at some point you would realize that that isn't how you wanted to do it, and you would just stop the medicine. Stopping the medicine in most cases is definitely not more dangerous than continuing the medicine. And I find it really actually hilarious that we don't question when we start these relatively large laboratory toxins, but we definitely question the difficulties we have when we're concerned about the pain of withdrawal. There are so many things that are kind of backwards when we look at how psychiatry works. You know, we come in with a set of symptoms. Psychiatry is waiting for us to call those symptoms wrong and to give us a diagnosis. And we accept that diagnosis because that means that we're no longer responsible for creating the problem that was there. So we could say something like, honey, that wasn't me, that was my ADHD. Or that wasn't me, that was my bipolar disorder. There are certain traits that have been developed over time by humans and little patterns of traits. And then those get listed inside of the DSM-4 and DSM-5 as actual diagnoses. And then you're convinced that there's something wrong with you because that's what the book says. And then you start on medicines. And when you start on medicines, it often perpetuates or increases or at least sometimes even causes the symptoms it's marketed to treat. This is an improper way to deal with psychiatric issues. And what I'm saying is that if there is any chemical imbalance, more than likely it starts when you start taking chemicals. And that really does alter the behavioral balance of your body. Some of these medicines actually do cause you to feel worse and even sometimes antidepressants cause you to be more depressed. Anti-anxiety agents cause you to be more anxious. Anti-manic agents cause you to be more manic. Anti-psychotic agents cause you to actually feel psychosis. You can test this, but I don't suggest it, is that if you don't have any of those conditions and you take those medicines anyways, my guess is that you will develop those conditions and really know what it means to have any of those symptoms, because these medications seemingly at times by design are actually intending to cause the symptoms they're marketed to treat. As a young doctor, I let people know that, and we start looking at different alternatives on how to see your humanity for what it is. Welcome to Humanity is an opportunity to see how your humanity actually rolls and to give yourself the possibility of actually being a person who is whole and complete just like you are. So that's what I do as a young doctor, and I invite you, if this makes any sense to you, to set up a discovery call by emailing me at drfred@welcometohumanity.net so that we can talk further about what's there for you and what we might be able to do to straighten up or balance your life without the need of receiving any kind of formal psychiatric diagnosis or medication. With that said, I think I'm going to go to a commercial and I'll catch you on the flip side. We'll do a brief round after the commercial. In the meantime, I want you to remember, Welcome to Humanity is a function of actually creating human connection at the heart of all healing. Without human connection, we don't heal. And without our true voice, we don't have a true human connection. All of this goes together to create the possibility of learning that, in fact, you are simply human, going through a human life, a spiritual life perhaps, but also a human life. And the errors you make allow you to consider forgiving, accepting, and having compassion for yourself, something you might have been short of up until now. With that, commercial, please. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc., I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the Undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's clear. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but it's two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect. And from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Frey. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. There you go. Welcome back to the second half. I'm not going to be able to go for the whole half hour here. So we're going to do a little bit of closure. We're going to talk about just a review of what we've spoken of in the first half of the session. And that is, we spoke of forgiveness, acceptance, and compassion and gentleness and humility and kindness and really just understanding as a key value here. Something that you can do, even if it feels like you might be caving in while you do it. You're not doing it for them after all. You're doing it for you to relieve yourself of the space of toxicity, the sharp edges and shrapnel that you have in yourself that are blaming another person for causing you pain and not allowing you to move ahead into your life. This is a very powerful, extremely powerful intervention that can change your whole world. When you do this with others, you can also learn to do it with yourself, giving yourself that same level of latitude for becoming the person that you are, including parts of you that you are not necessarily that proud or happy with. The next thing we talked about is really the importance of true voice. Why bring forth a true voice anyways? What part of this even matters? What's the point of bringing forth a true voice, and what can you expect when you do so? What is the alternative to true voice, and what function does it hold, if any? That makes any sense. And we learned that it doesn't have very much sense to actually pretend to be someone you're not in order to protect the person you are. And it doesn't make very much sense to actually, step forth into saying things that you don't even believe yourself. We also learned that resonating harmonically with your true self and with the world around you is an extraordinary experience and allows you to really come in touch with the world and actually come into a way that you can be effective. It's on the heels of forgiveness and acceptance. Finally, we talked a little bit about the undoctor. The undoctor's opportunity here is to walk people who are having difficulty either coming out of the psychiatric complex, who want to get off their medicine, or who have already gotten off most or all of their medicine and looking to redesign their life so that they can have a life without the psychiatric diagnosis and the psychiatric medicines that have been imprisoning them. Or we can also look at people who are considering going into the psychiatric complex because they've been convinced that they should, quote, seek help for feeling bad about things that are going on in the world. It turns out that feeling bad about things that are going on in their world doesn't necessarily mean that they're sick, in the same way that blaming a log for burning in a fire is not necessarily appropriate. If it's a fire, it's important to get that a log should burn. If there's depressing things happen, it's important to get that depression is reasonable. If there's some notion of anxiety or nervousness about a future, there's a possibility that being anxious is a proper response and only an indicator that rebalancing oneself is what's necessary. Unfortunately, the psychiatric complex, although it promises to do so, doesn't do a very good job of truly rebalancing. In fact, by giving a diagnosis and then giving medications, in most cases, it creates its own imbalance, which often perpetuates causes or in some ways contributes directly to the symptoms it's marketed to treat. This is the undoctor talking, and it's important to get that there's a real possibility that you might know somebody who could benefit from this level of coaching to get themselves realigned without either having to go back into the psychiatric field or even enter the psychiatric field to begin with. There's another group of people I'd like to point to, and that's the actual healers. Oftentimes, healers have spent a whole lot of time and energy and money and even well-being to learn how to do something like become a doctor, become a psychologist, a nurse, a social worker, or some type of alternative worker, a physical therapist, occupational therapist, touch therapist, Reiki worker, any of that, acupuncturist, et cetera. And once they get into the field, they learn that it's not very much like they had hoped it would be. There's a whole lot of things that have to be done or that are being called on them that are not aligned with their own healing self. And they often find themselves burning out or no longer aligned with the job that they hoped would bring a whole lot of power and a whole lot of sense of accomplishment. Because of that, these healers need their own healing. The way that it happens is that they too can get in touch with their truest self. And by getting in touch with their truest self, they might learn that they're actually that their healing skills can be altered to meet the job descriptions of the job that they have or a new job that they might pursue. Or may even also learn that the possibility exists that they belong in a different field besides the one that they're in and that they can make that transition. For now, I'd like you to get that that's called Healing the Healer. And the course I have that's designed for that group is healingthehealer.online. Ultimately, any of these things go best if I can customize a program for you. And the best way for allowing that to happen is by giving me a call and creating a discovery call with me. I'm at drfred@welcometohumanity.net. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Or you can text me or call me as well using any of the social media. The best way to get a hold is 916-671-0007. And you can call that number and get a hold of me. And you can also write me on my at my email, or you can find me anywhere in my link tree, which is linktr.ee. That's linktr.ee/Fred Moss. So I think that's all I have for today. It's been a pleasure meeting with you. Thank you, TJ, for your outstanding work as a tech. And I think for now, I've really delivered what I needed to for today. I too am healing, as you can hear. I'm healing from my March 20th event, which allowed me to really start seeing that my creativity comes from within and that who I get to be now is a little bit different with a little bit of a different motivation than who I was before. Coming from a place of solid wisdom and experience, I get to draw from a creativity that's waiting here for me rather than one that gets created by me being such a rapidly spinning top, which is what I was up until recently. Thank you very much for listening and for being here during this important conversation on the podcast. I've really enjoyed being with you. We'll catch you next week. Hopefully Sam will be with us. Bye for now. Take care. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?